We know that, as a matter of fact, we know that our God is for us. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? And I know my God is for me. I don't have to worry. I can trust him. You know, last week, we were talking about this week, let me tell you, we'll be, tomorrow we'll be driving to Georgia to be part of the Restoration Network annual family pastoral leadership retreat. It's usually a good refreshing time. So I'm looking forward to go this week. But yeah, last week I was talking about the purpose or the discipline of a spiritual life. And I mentioned the purpose, the power, and the person of the Holy Spirit, how important he is in our lives. And today I want to finish this. And where I stopped with the question of Jesus said in John chapter 16, he told the disciples, in a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. You remember I told you some of the disciples, they were like, what is he talking about? You know? But what he was saying is, he was saying, I must go. Because when I go, I will send you my representative. I will send you the advocate. How many of you here understand the deepest need for Holy Spirit nowadays? More than ever, we need the Holy Spirit. More than ever, we need to depend on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. More than ever, our ears needs to be in tune. I tell you, me, I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to do just to rock my world, to change my heart, to make me. I was talking to a guy, one of our guy in Haiti. He said, if before COVID-19, you were knee deep in the water of God or in relationship with God, you need to be immersed right now. Because you have everything going out after your peace. You have everything going after your joy. You have everything going after just holiness. Next week, I'm going to begin talking about holiness. Because I believe that is one thing the church people don't want to talk about. But the Holy Spirit is a spirit of holiness. He's a spirit of light. And Jesus said, you know, when I must go, because when he goes, he will be my representative. Jesus said, I am leaving, but I will be back. It won't be me the way you see me, but I will be back. And I thank God for his presence. See, Jesus introduced to us the Holy Spirit. He introduced to his disciples the Holy Spirit. He introduced to the disciples a guide, a teacher. You know, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will give you revelation. I sent to you this guy this week a reading plan, and I'm reading it. And the way I'm doing it is I read one chapter in Samuel and one chapter in Acts. But men, there's one word I want to talk about today. And that word, if the disciple, just imagine, and I think I've mentioned it a couple weeks back. If any of us here, maybe most, I'm not talking about here, but people nowadays, if Jesus would ask them to stay and wait, we don't want to wait. We don't like waiting. I mean, traffic jam. When you're stuck in the traffic jam for 5 minutes, what do you start saying? Oh, man, this is good traffic. Oh, man, traffic jam. No, you don't welcome traffic jam. The moment you stop, you start getting frustrated. Because we love to go. We can't wait. We're not waiting people. We don't wait on things, right? That's why they invented the microwave. Because the microwave minutes, and we can watch, gives it to you right now. You know, we can wait a couple minutes, and we can watch the clock going down, all right? Once it beeps, my food is ready. You see, Jesus told his disciples to wait. There's another question. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will speak to you what I have given to him. And why? Because Jesus is the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is the power of God, and whenever the power acts, it has to act on the Word of God. Should I tell you again? Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will take what belongs to Father and reveals it to me. So because the Holy Spirit is the power of God, every time the power of God acts, the power of God will never act outside of the Word of God. Guys, if there's a time for us to dig deep in knowing God intimately in His Word, help me out. It is now. If there is a time to cut out the distractions, a lot of distractions, a lot of things are running out 120 miles an hour for your time. And I will say it again. I'll never stop saying it. We'll have time for everything else except a time to sit and wait upon the Lord. In the past week, past 2 weeks, I have felt a greater peace in my life. You know why? Because I thought I was here, but then now it's like I want to be immersed in God's Word. I want my mind to be in line with God's Word. So I'm on the watch. Anything in my life that is not in line with God's Word. So you know what? I repent. I sent a couple verses this week on our men's group. Repent. I'm reading Acts again. Peter's talking about, you know, he's like, guys, repent from your sins. Anything in your life that is preventing the overflow of God, intimacy, overflow of intimacy in your life, make sure you get rid of it. Idolatries. I mean, now this generation isn't. Help me out. They worship. Idolize everything. They worship. But the crazy thing is they worship the wrong thing. There's nothing in this world that can bring us satisfaction. Nothing. Amen? You guys know what I'm talking about? People tried everything. We've tried everything. People buy a bigger house. You buy a newer car. You buy some more shoes. Whatever else you like. You get a nice guitar. Me, I love instruments, all right? I'm looking into, it's a Bose ME70. They have a Bose RC30. I was talking to Kathy the other day. The Bose RC30, this thing, I can play my guitar and tap on this, and it will record what I'm playing. But then, I only have 1 minute in this. They have a new one that just came out for $300. I can't afford it right now. But guess what? I bought it so I could play with it and return it. You can record unlimited. And I'm like, I love it. That won't satisfy. I give it 3 days. After that, something else is going to come. iPhone 3, remember? iPhone 3. Now we're talking about, the world is evolving. But there is only, you find satisfaction only in cultivating that intimate relationship with Jesus. You know, open your Bibles with me. You don't have to open it, but remember what it says in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. You see, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 fulfilled the promise that God made when he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Thank God for that. It says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see vision. I pray this over my life. I'm like, God, all right, I'm getting older. Okay, this is your promise over my life. I will have dreams. I'll have dreams of the last days. I want to know exactly what you're doing. When you look at the headlines, it's scary, but I pray about them. I pray about them. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled, but put all your trust in the Lord. You know, I heard somebody says, man, I'd hate to have kids, but I tell you, your kids going to have kids in this society, but they will. I like this song, what we were just singing. He is for me. The Lord is for me. The righteous will live by faith, not by what they see. Can I have an amen? It says, even your servants, both men and women, will. I will pour out my spirit on them on those days. Remember what I said a couple months ago. The last days begin. The last day began when Jesus rose from the dead. And when the Holy Spirit was released on earth, the last days began. See, in the Old Testament, the days, when, and every time we talk about the day of the Lord in the Old Testament, they were making reference about the coming of Christ. The day of the Lord, the coming of Christ. And then it also talk about the last days begin the moment Jesus poured his Holy Spirit on this earth. Man, guys, you know what the crazy thing is? My eyes getting worse and worse. It's okay. Thank you for the encouragement. It gets better. Thank you so much. I have hope. Hallelujah. You see, the thing is, we cannot measure the days according to our standard, because the Bible says in 2 Peter 3, verse 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So we cannot measure the days, our times, according to our standard. See, for the Lord, 1,000 years is a day, can be a day. 2 years could be like a couple minutes. The day of the Lord was pretty much 33 years on earth. But thank God, because we are living in the last days. And God's promise stand today. You know, open your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 8. I really love this. Talking about the covenant God made with us. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. It talks about the days of the Holy Spirit. And let us continue to give the Holy Spirit room in our lives, in our marriage, in this church, in our country. Because we need him. It says, but God I will make a with the people and said, the days are coming, declare the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judea. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. Because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, I turned away from them, declared the Lord. You see, remember, God's promises, they are all conditional. Salvation is free, right? Freedom is free, right? Freedom in the Lord is free. Forgiveness is free. Can I have an amen? Amen. But let's think about it. Not really. Not really. Freedom is not free. Freedom don't come free. I listened to that song yesterday. That's a nice song. I like it. Freedom don't come free. Yes, it is free to me because I didn't pay anything. But guess what? Even for me to experience the fullness of walking by faith, I have to pay a price. Even for me to experience the glory of Jesus Christ in my personal life, I have to pay a price. What price it is? Sometimes, or I'd say most of the time, is saying no to the desire of the flesh. Saying no to hate. Saying yes to love. Saying yes to accepting other people's view. And accept them, loving them, honoring them, forgiving them. See, that now powerless people don't do that stuff. Because powerless people, it's like they're too lazy to pay the price. But powerful people, they want to accept the person where they're at. They want to pay the price. But God says here in Hebrews chapter 8, I'm going to change the stuff. In the first covenant, when the people messed up, I turned my back on them. You see, now what was the covenant with God made with them? You remember in the Old Testament, it was made by cutting out a stone. And God wrote the laws on the stone and gave it to Moses. You see, every time there are laws, laws usually follow by principles. You guys know what I'm talking about. Most of you are in the Navy, in the Army. I mean, that's like, I mean, you got to follow orders, right? And mess up. Am I right? The first covenant laws were written on stone in tablets. And you know what happened now. A lot of people at the church, a lot of church people, they're still trying to follow God according to the old covenant. And I believe that's why a lot of people turn their back on the Lord. You know, I keep asking me the same question. I think I wrote it down here. Why? I mean, some of you, I know you might have the same question is, I mean, I pray for my kids, and I always ask them, I always ask my kids, how is your walk with God? You know, when we all live in the same house, we all have one meter, electric meter. So I can't tell Ryan, hey, dude, now you are 21, you got to have your own electric meter in my house. It won't work. We all know it. Okay? But then spiritually, you cannot hook on my line. I don't know if it makes sense here, but in Haiti, in other countries, right? Probably in Africa. Okay? Okay? I pay for the main line. I pay for the electricity. It happens to me all the time, man, guys. I even buy my own private transformer. Because the government doesn't provide it. You can't, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You guys get me? We have to buy our own electricity. And then one time I came here in the States. I was here for 3 months and I went back. You know, I'm just doing normal cleaning and stuff. And I saw a line came from my neighbor's house. I'm like, what? What's going on here? So I wasn't there. She hooked on my line. She tapped on my line, and of course, I'm paying for the electricity. Yeah, I'm paying for it. Sometimes they run it underground when you're sleeping at night. Yeah, and up the trees. Man, this guy knows exactly what I'm talking about. You see, spiritually, we cannot do that. You got to have your own personal private counter. You got to have your personal meter, your personal encounter with the Lord. You know, the crazy thing is, I remember that time when I went back. You remember, Kendra? And when I saw the line, I called my neighbor. And I'm like, I was trying to be nice. You know how it is. It's like, man, I don't want to get mad because hook on my line. Looking for ways to get mad at me. Yeah, I'm the pastor. I can't be mad. So I'm like, man, you can't hook on my line either. So when I call her, I'm like, what is this line? Oh, it was a big mess. I cut it. I just unhooked her. Then she was mad, didn't talk to me for like 6 months. How bad is that? You cannot have, you cannot hook, tap. You have to tap into Jesus, the same source I'm tapping into. You have to. You know, that's why a lot of young people, they don't want anything to do with the church because the church tried to do the gospel according to the old covenant. Don't do that. Don't eat that. Don't follow that. I told you, I keep asking Ryan and Alyssa. Even Priscilla, you know, how's your walk with the Lord? How are you? Where is Mercer? Mercer, you know, this is young kids. Mercer, you going to school next month. How is it? How's your encounter? Because I believe the moment you encounter Jesus and you know, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, yeah, this flesh, there's nothing in us physically that desire to do right, fleshly, physically. But the Spirit is willing. So the more I live according to the Spirit, the less I do or I follow the desire of my soul and my flesh. See? So I become alive in the Spirit. And I told you earlier, the world, society, everything out there is going out for your joy, for your peace, for your righteousness. That's why I need my personal counter. And sometimes, you know what? Let's not even blame it on Satan. Let's not even blame it on the world. It could be yourself. Because I tell you, the worst enemy you could have is you. That's bringing you down. You know? You're not happy with yourself. You're comparing yourself with other people. So let's not do that. And that's why I say, if anybody makes mistakes, if you're online and you're watching and you're listening to this, if you make a mistake or you fall, you tell my kids, if you're weak, you're discouraged, this is a place for you to come. When you feel always welcome here, when you don't feel strong, when you're feeling low, this is a place for you to come. This is a place for restoration. This is a place for restitution. We are a safe place. This is God's house. There's no judgment here. Yes. You know, a lot of people turn their back on the church because we judge them. We don't accept them. Now, there's a big difference between acceptance and tolerance. One thing I understand is I cannot change you. No, I have no ability in changing people. If I had, man, oh my God. You get me, right? If I had that ability, oh my Lord, I'd just go like, change. First of all, I'd go, change. I'd do it here first. There are things I fight with, I fought with, and I'm like, I gotta be in Jesus' feet. You know, God, you know, give me the grace to carry on. Give me the grace to face this. I can't anymore. And you know what? He does. He does. So if you make mistake, if you sin and you fall, you should always come here. You should always go to the altar. You should always. This pastor, you can always call him. Because I see that's how Jesus do it. You know, he doesn't judge. There's no guilt here. Hebrews chapter 8, I love it. God says, man, I won't do that anymore. I'm not going to write my laws on tablets. You don't have to follow. You know, and I know a lot of, especially in other culture, the preachers, they love the people to be dependent on them. Do not depend on me. I cannot help you. Jesus is the only one that can help you. Amen. Now, I am in your life as a representative of Jesus. I am a voice. I'm your pastor. I'm your covering. But guess what? When you make things right with Jesus, my work is a lot easier. Amen. Oh, yeah. Because when I speak, you know, you already hear Jesus' voice. You're already in his word. I don't have to tell you love your wife. I don't have to tell you respect your parents. I don't have to tell you to turn your back from the world. Do not love the world. I don't have to tell you to not live in fornication and adultery. I don't have to tell you certain things. Why? Because you know it. If you sin and you fall, don't stay away from the body of Christ. Don't hide and feel depressed. If you're feeling low, there's a song that goes like this, right? When I'm low, something like that. There's a song for everything. You're always welcome here. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We saw our church grew and became a culture of loving acceptance and forgiveness in Haiti because, I mean, we've got some assets. I have some people that left other churches to come and serve God in our ministry that are like full of potentials. Why? Because they left another place because they felt the community. Guys, we have to protect the community. You know, I understand COVID-19, we have to be careful. But once this thing is behind us, invite each other in your home. Fellowship. Last Monday, we had good fellowship. Yeah, I know we don't have cell, but let's try to do it again, even before. The ladies on the lawn, do it, because that's the life of the church. Let's live. Let's protect the community. Let's invite each other at home. Your problem is my problem. Your joy is my joy. You know? Yeah. I banish the spirit of hypocrisy here.
Amen.
No, no, no. No. I tell you, people that knows me, they know they don't talk to me about other people. I don't care. If you have a problem with so-and-so, you can't resolve it. You come to me. Sure, I'll help you out. But first of all, my first question would be, have you talked to him? Now, if you have and you haven't gotten any answer or result, yes, because that's what the Bible says. The Word of God says if someone sin against you, you go to him. Don't come to me. But we create a spirit of strife, a spirit of division in God's country, in God's house, because we backstab, we listen to other people's stuff. And then, of course, people are like, you know what? I don't want anything to do with the church. They got hurt. But I thank God because he's rebuilding his temple. Amen. I thank God because he's building his temple in this house right here.
Yes, amen.
And he built it. We build it. They will come. Because there are people out there that needs it. The Bible says a new covenant. God says a new covenant I will have with them. Now, in verse 10, Hebrews chapter 8, it says, this covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them in their hearts. I will be their God. He is for me. I will be their God, and they will be my people. How many God's people do we have here?
Amen. Amen.
See? So then when things are going wrong, don't see yourself as Haitian, as of African, or as a Puerto Rican or American. Don't see yourself like that. Your first citizenship is kingdom citizenship.
Amen.
I am a kingdom. I am a citizen of heaven. So my standard is kingdom standard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I tell you, everything I see in the world, every news I watch, I listen to, I watch and listen to it according to kingdom's perspective. So when I get together with a bunch of people and we talk about politics, yeah, everybody can have their view. But yeah, I see it according to kingdom perspective. Aren't you glad this is not your home? Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's why we need to continue to protect your joy. God says, no longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. This is the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. This is what people need to understand. God doesn't hold your sin against you. He's not holding your sin against you. You can come, man. I mean, I've talked to people, they're like, man, I want to give my life to the Lord, but I've got to do this and that first. See, if you can clean up your life before you come to the Lord, then coming to the Lord is worthless. If you can make things right before you come, you don't need to come, because then there's nothing else he can do. Jesus is in the business of restoring, of making whole again, emotionally. Restoring your health. No longer they will teach their neighbors or say to one another, know the Lord, because I will forgive their sins and I will remember their sin no more. By calling this new, God says he made the the old one absolute. So now we serve God under a new covenant, and that's what the church needs to understand and remember. You all know it again already, but I'll tell you again. We serve God under a new covenant, the covenant of the Spirit. See, when you do wrong, you don't need to check to Moses because you have special direct access. How awesome is that? You don't have to go through a priest. You know how messed up that is? The Bible does say confess your sin to one another. But be wise, because the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom to choose who to confess to. Don't just confess your stuff to anybody, because some people, they can't keep it. I mean, me, there are things people talk to me, I don't tell my wife. Same thing for her. Unless the person, oh, you can share with your wife, sure. But we need to be a boîte secret. Got it? A boîte secret, a secret box with no locks, you know, a secret box. You save your money. When you drop something in that box, the only person that's got the key to check it is the person that dropped the thing in the box. You need to be a safe place when people talk to you. They need to know that. They need to know so-and-so is a safe place. I can talk to him. God is a safe place. I tell you, because the Holy Spirit is in you, he can personally be your counselor. He's your advisor. He can tell you what to do and what not to do. He will lean, he will teach you everything he can learn from the Father. Let me tell you this again. This, I got this from John again. Because you have the Holy Spirit, he can personally be your counselor. And I tell you, I have the best counselor ever. Amen. The Holy Spirit. I know. Guys, how do I know when the Holy Spirit is in? I know the voice of the Holy Spirit because I spent time with him and I know my heart. I know in my heart this is the direction he wants me to go. And sometimes the direction he wants you to go might not make sense to most people. They might think you dumb and stupid. Yeah. I had a friend back in 2010 when I told him, I said, hey, I didn't say God asked me because certain people, they won't understand that. I said, you know what? I have to go back home and I'm gonna be a minister. He's like, what? Why? You know, that's why certain people, certain things, God, Amy, I'm talking to you right now. Certain things God's telling you, don't share it with people. You remember what happened to Joseph? Joseph had a dream. And then, of course, he went and tell his brothers. All that was in also God's plan. It was in God's plan. But there are certain things God tells you, keep it in your heart. Because there are certain people you go and tell, those people, they're going to ridicule you. But even if you do, be aware of those people. There was another guy that came. He came to me probably 6 months after I was in Haiti leading the church, and he came to me. He's like, yeah, Pastor, we don't receive you here. He's like, we don't accept you, because that guy, he thought he was going to be the pastor. Before the former pastor died, there was a group working with him, and three of them thought one of them would become the pastor. But then God went and took me way out there and brought me in. So therefore, one of them had the guts to come talk to me and saying, yeah, I've talked to the people, and we, especially the leadership, we don't accept you here. You're wasting your time. I said, yeah. Well, guess what? Get up, get out of my house. Get away from me, Satan. That's what I told him. I said, for your thoughts are not in line in God's thoughts. Unfortunately, that guy never repented, and his life is very miserable. Almost got arrested, had to flee the country. You know, he had the chance. But I knew what God told me. I knew exactly what he said. So therefore, I stand on it. What are the words of the Lord in your life? What are the words of the Lord for your children, for your grandchildren? Stand on them. Because at times you might be like, man, God, what's going on here? Life is going crazy. But stand on it. So don't share your stuff to anybody. Don't share your sin to anybody. May the Lord give you wisdom to choose who to trust. Amen? You see, now this is the time I asked the worship team to come. But my problem is today I'm the worship leader. But I'll end up with this. Remember I told you in Acts, the Holy Spirit says that to the disciples, Jesus said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Everybody say with me, wait. Wait. He says, wait for the promise of the Father, which he said he would send. You see, I opened the dictionary. Nowadays, it's like, I kind of really like the dictionary because certain words, not only one dictionary, I also listen, check it out on Larousse and Webster, whatever, those dictionaries. But I check the word wait. See, when you wait, it says stay where one is. Delay action until a particular time or until something else happens. Remember I told you, we don't like to wait. So I would encourage you, as you continue to read Acts, to wait upon the Lord. Wait. Listen. Close out the distractions. Wait upon the Lord. It is so easy. I tell you guys, I have commentaries. I've got so many commentaries in my Bibles, in my iPad, computer, whatever. But you know, sometimes I don't want to read someone else's commentary. I want to know the revelation for the moment out of this verse. But you know how I get it? I wait. I wait. So you too, I challenge you today. Learn how to wait. Learn how to wait upon the Lord. David, he showed us that. Jesus, oh my goodness, Jesus. He was busy. But then Jesus realized by the time the sun comes up till the sun goes down, if he doesn't wake up at 2 in the morning, find himself up on the mountain where there is no distraction to wait upon the Lord, he is in trouble. So therefore, Jesus set up an example for you and I. To wait upon the Lord. You know? And in the past month and a half, I've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And today, I kind of wrapped the whole thing up. I had Rodney here, and I had somebody else. Who else came? Talked about the Holy Spirit. And I pray that this time, you get to understand, wow, yeah. Jesus is good. But man, the Holy Spirit is awesome because the Holy Spirit is the representative of Jesus. When I pray, I talk to the Holy Spirit. I say, Holy Spirit, what do you think? Yeah, because he'll listen from Jesus and tells me. And he'll tell me. I'd invite the worship team to come up here.